The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
When friends or family are in trouble, perhaps some family difficulty or a bereavement, perhaps separation maybe, we try to offer them support. But how best can we do that, and what do we mean by support? We're joined by Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So what do we mean by support when we say we're offering it?
Yeah, I think it's important. The reason I mentioned this as a kind of a topic is because I think people have a lot of presumptions around it. There's a lot of talk around it, but sometimes people get it very wrong. And also, I think people try very hard to support, but they don't really know how to approach it. So for that reason, I thought it was worth peeping at.
Now, there are different situations you might find yourself in. Say a friend is in trouble. What do you do?
So a friend is in trouble in, you know, any kind of way. It might be their job, they may feel they're bullied, there may be a girlfriend situation or whatever. The important thing, I think, is to, you know, separate the idea of support from fixing a problem. It's really not about fixing. And a lot of men move to that quite quickly. We think we know that. But when it comes to supporting people, what they really need is they need to talk it out. They need a place to talk about it. They need to speak it, get the words on it. And really your job is to listen, to be present, to try not to jump in and shut them down. You know, also just really to offer some sort of simple support, you know, to stay calm when they're getting very upset and to offer practical, simple support. Like, would you prefer if I go with you? Would it help if I did this on Friday for you? So come in with something that's quite grounding rather than, I know what you're talking about. I had a situation like that. My sister's cousin had something. You know, this kind of talk does not support people. It doesn't help.
Now, that's with a friend. It's more complicated, I suspect, with family because there'll be history.
Exactly. Well, there's history in family, and we know there's often people, you know, have different roles. They kind of assume those roles, and indeed they're often thrust upon them. So often when it comes to family, something has to shift here, and often it's about the role. You know, the person who is always the one you can rely on, it's very hard for that person, if they're in trouble, to kind of, how would you say, step out of that position of being in control of everything and always being the strong one. So either they need to say it, or maybe you can help them to say it. Maybe you can say, you don't have to do this on your own. You're always the one who helps everyone else, but maybe we could help you now. So you can help the person to come out of that, you know, place that they're usually in. That can be helpful.
If somebody has mental health struggles, and they can have many, I mean, some can be permanent, like the onset of dementia. Some can be more temporary, or some can be persistent right throughout life.
Exactly.
How do you cope with that? I mean, you can't say to someone, you're crackers. Do you know what I mean? It would not be helpful.
No, definitely not. But the thing about mental health issues is that, I mean, some things like dementia, there is a kind of a trajectory that may be a sort of an expected trajectory. With a lot of other mental health issues like depression, like manic depression, like psychiatric issues, they're good one week and they're bad the next week, and things are very erratic, and that's the way it works with mental health issues, especially the psychiatric kind. So the point about supporting in that is about, you know, being able for those changes and not expecting it to stay the same. You can still support the person by saying, you know, I'm still here, even if they're not great this week. You can come back to them. You don't have to. Also, you give the person the freedom not to be okay. You know, it's okay to be out of sorts this week. Yes, you were great last week, but, you know, things maybe this week have got on top of you, and you encourage them towards help, but you don't kind of use it as a threat, like, we can't keep listening to this. You know, you'll hear people saying this, we can't keep listening to this.
Some people will try to cope without seeking any kind of professional
help. Yes, but people are only ready for help at a certain point. So the support, and that's what we're talking about here, how to support, is how to urge people and sort of, in many ways, think of it almost childlike, a handhold, you're bringing them toward it. You're not pushing them into it.
Now, the inevitability of one thing is sure, and that is grief after bereavement.
And grief, of course. And it's how to help people after grief. I think the key thing in this is grief is longer than we think. And there's a lot of, you know, excess support, you could say, or not, maybe excess is the wrong word. There's plenty of support at the beginning, the funerals, the, you know, all of that. People reach out, the cards, the talks, the chats, the month's mind, all of that. But then everything goes quiet, and everyone will tell you that. People begin not to talk about the person. People don't show up. The person was in a couple. People don't invite them. It's all of that. So how do you help? You keep reaching back. You come back over time. You stay present a little bit for that person. That's how really you support in grief. You let them talk about the person who's gone. and you bring up that person's name so that they can talk about them.
Then after a breakup, I mean, there are some people who approach this, you know, someone's broken up, you're better off.
Yes.
And that's not really how they feel.
Yes. And maybe they are better off, but it's not very helpful and supportive to say it. That is really the thing, because you're trying to give them the freedom to get over what they have gone through. And they may still have mixed feelings about this person. It may have been a different relationship than you know. And we know it's a very private affair. So it's allowing them to miss somebody without any shame or without any judgment. And it's your job really to validate that loss. That's what you're trying to do.
Now, if you were to bring the whole thing together, no matter what the nature of the support that is required, what would you say?
Well, I would say certainly be present as best you can without pressure. Listen without interruption and without an agenda. You know, as you say, even if you don't agree with what, you know, the person that they've broken up with, don't express your view. It's not helpful.
And don't forget, they may get back together.
Exactly.
And you've said terrible things about the other fella.
A very good point, indeed. And so it's leaving that door open. That's what you do. You shut the door off when you make judgments. So you offer practical help as best you can, hold boundaries and be kind with the person and show up over time, not just at the beginning. That is really important. And accepting that real support isn't always a comfortable place to be. You know, sometimes you just have to sit with it. You don't have the answers, but you sit with the discomfort with the person. Most of all, you're trying to help the person to face it, not on their own. That's really what you're trying to do. And sometimes, you know, just recognizing that you can't change life. You can't change what has happened, but you can make sure they're not alone while they go through it.
And just be there and stay with it.
And just be there and be the friend and be the listener and be the one who validates what they're going through.
Stephanie Regan, a clinical psychotherapist, co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.